Welcome this morning to Lake Country Bible Church. We've come to praise the Lord. If we have any visitors here this morning, if you'd be so kind as look in the pouch in the chair in front of you, there should be an envelope. Inside the envelope is a form and a pen. You fill that out, please, and put that in the basket on the way out this morning to the right-hand side of the door there. Let us know a little bit about yourself. And maybe we can get in touch with each other and just make sure you know you're welcome here. So we love you, praise you. Let's just pray, lift our voices and praise the Lord this morning. All right.
Good morning. We have some announcements to make before we go to prayer. We have a prayer meeting every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock in the meeting room through that door to my right in a classroom back there. Everyone's welcome. That takes place at 9 o'clock. Silent prayer is welcome. Open voice prayer is welcome as well. Women's Bible study meets in that same room on Tuesday night at 6:30. I think the ladies are in 2 Samuel, moving through the Bible, having started in Genesis. I think Terry's anxious and almost ready to end up 2 Samuel and start a new one. That's right. Wednesday night, we meet in this room at 6 o'clock. We take prayer and offer prayer before the Lord's throne. And then we have a Bible lesson in here soon to follow. Featured in your announcements this week are the women's brunch that will take place at Brenda Smith's home in Holly Lake Ranch. All women are invited. As I understand it, there's a sign-up sheet on a podium in the foyer there where you can still sign up, I believe. Is that right? Still taking signers? Kindness Cottage, of course, is running a food donation at this time, targeted towards the 21st and 28th of April as far as a collection. A list of requested items is available on the foyer, as you can read in your announcements. With that, let's go to prayer. Yes. Say again. 27th will be a work day. Didn't make the announcements. Okay. I thought we were going to discuss that date in our meeting this afternoon.
Yes. Be sure and pray for the nation of Israel, as they're under attack, and we need to pray for Israel.
That's true. Very, very true. Let's bow our heads and pray. Gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, your children are gathered this morning in worship just for the blessings that you have given, the promises that you've fulfilled and verified in your written word, recorded of you, our living word. For you now sit at the right hand of the Father. Your word tells us, the believers, that if we seek, we'll find, and we'll find in the scriptures you as a cornerstone and foundation of our faith. We also find there the eternal blessings which are just itemized for us, Lord, which just flow freely and this to all who have believed this apostle's report written so long ago. And those things, Lord, that you give us, grace beyond measure, redemption from sin, the sin which was born in all men since the garden. For in no other name is your grace to be found than in you, who knew no sin, yet became sin for all mankind, with the shedding of your blood. And that blood, Lord, we know, is the only blood that your Father would accept as adequate for the remission of sin. And this, the victory was declared from heaven. Death now conquered by your body resurrected and now glorified, dispensing to all who believe the helper whom you promised, who would gift to each according to need in the battle over faith, empowering your children with the understanding of these events. Lord, in you alone is our hope and our strength, and this by your resurrection. Yes, Lord, we all must die, but that only if you don't call us, as according to the Scriptures, to meet you in the air and forever to be so in your presence. Lord, we look forward to that day. We pray that it is soon. There are things going on in our world this present, Lord, that trouble us to some extent. And Lord, we just ask your blessing upon the nation of Israel. I pray that our nation would continue in support of those whom you have chosen as your children. You have not disowned them. You have set them aside, and you will claim them again when you find your remnant therein, that nation that is presently waging war. Lord, this morning we just ask your blessing upon that nation. And Lord, sift those who would be that remnant that you can depend upon to testify to your love during the times of Jacob's trouble to come. Lord, this morning we just bless your holy name for your truth, your grace, life everlasting, so freely declared to whosoever believes. Now as we continue to sing in your praises and the reading and hearing of your word, we ask your special blessing on Mike's message to come from your word. We ask your Spirit to awaken in us the joy of our salvation. And may our worship this morning be a sweet savor before you. And in Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen. I believe we are in 2 Corinthians this morning. And we'll be reading chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, verses 10 through 20. 2 Corinthians 5, 10 through 20. Beginning with verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. We do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who should live no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, because God has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God.
Is the sound working? This has been quite a different beginning of the Sunday morning service. Got a message that Terry was sick. He did not want to get any of us sick, so he would not be here today. And so, in response to that, I retrieved that recording this morning that we had in Sunday school. Never ceases to minister to me. I knew and loved Ray Stanford, brother in Christ. Never went to his Bible college, but I sure learned a lot from that man. Had the privilege of officiating at his funeral service. Had the privilege of having him stay with us in our home, visit with him one-on-one, and the Lord really used that man. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer this morning. Father, we do thank you so much for grace. We thank you, Father, for your love that brought salvation. Father, that we are secure in Christ. And Father, you have a responsibility for us as your children, to make the plan of salvation understood, easy to be understood. And Father, we pray that you would give us the opportunities to do that as we go about our day-to-day lives. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Got a lot to pack into this time that I have. We're looking in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're dealing with us being ambassadors to Christ. Is that me, the desk mic, or is that all right? All right. being ambassadors for Christ. Years ago, when we had the Bible study, quote-unquote, ranch in our home, we would have, in our church, we would have specials groups come through that would be touring from Florida Bible College, and one such group was His Ambassadors. So I've entitled this morning's service and message to us this morning, His Ambassadors. We've spoken about before in different services prior to the recent history. We have spoken concerning the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ is not a judgment as to whether we will go to heaven or hell. That has been settled completely, and when we've trusted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we are made secure in Christ. But the works of the believer will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ as to reward, not as to heaven or hell, but as to rewards. We can either receive rewards or we can have the loss of rewards in response to how we have discharged our responsibilities as God's ambassadors. The individual at the judgment seat of Christ receive a reward as they have been faithful in their service to the Lord. Loss of reward as we have lived our lives to ourselves and we have not served the Lord as far as the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe that will be the main test by which we are judged at the judgment seat of Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." The sins of the believer have been paid for. God's Word says He removes them as far as the east is from the west. He remembers them no more, but we will be judged, our works will be judged, and we must appear and either receive reward or loss of reward at the judgment seat of Christ. The believer's position in Christ is never questioned at the judgment seat of Christ. The believer is secure in Christ forever and ever and ever. We read in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, "To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved." This is the Christian's position, which can never change. We are accepted in the Beloved. We have been, if you would, perfected in our when we trust Christ as our Savior. We have been perfected. We have received the righteousness of God Himself to go to heaven on. We find that this is once again mentioned in Romans chapter 14, verse 8, "For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's." The position of the believer is secure no matter what, but we will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Our works will be judged. We shall receive rewards, which we will have, I think, an opportunity to give unto Christ Himself following the judgment seat of Christ, because only through Him are we able and equipped to share our life story, the gift of eternal life, and serve the Lord in other areas. We receive rewards for that. We find in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, we see, "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him." This is speaking of the Christian's condition, which varies from time to time. Sometimes we walk closer with the Lord than we do at others. Sometimes we're more obedient to the Lord and the leading of the Holy Spirit than others. And so we are not consistent ever this side of heaven in our walk with the Lord. But we do walk with the Lord. We are His and He is ours and our future is secure. This is, we may find, therefore, more, I mean, we may appear, therefore, sometimes more spiritual at times than others. But as a believer, we'll be rewarded according to this life that we have lived this side of heaven. The believer will never stand before God in judgment for his sin. That judgment has been paid for some 2,000 years ago when Christ hung on the cross and gave his life that we might have eternal life. Our debt has been paid. It's been paid in full. It's ours, that gift of eternal life. It's ours the moment we trust him. And we are his, and he is ours, and our future is secure. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 12, we read, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work what it shall be." We find Paul speaking here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11, regarding the terror of the Lord, or the seriousness when we stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ. How have we lived our lives? How have we benefited others in the cause of Christ? How have we made the plan of salvation simple and easy to be understood by the lost? We persuade men, Paul says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. But we're made manifest unto God, he goes on. And I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. Paul knows the terror of the Lord. We who know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior should realize and recognize to stand before a holy God and our works to be judged is serious business. Not for the decision as to whether we go to heaven or hell, but because of the way that we have lived our lives. I am confident of this one thing, that many of us will stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ in some area or another, ashamed of our walk or lack thereof, really, our walk with the Lord. The judgment seat of Christ will prove embarrassing to many, many believers. In chapter 5, verse 12 of 2 Corinthians, we read, "For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them, which glory in appearance and not in heart." False teachers glory in their appearance, their outward appearance, their learning, their eloquence, their wisdom, their riches. They relish that. They want the praise of men. We find that these ones will stand before God and receive loss of reward if they know Christ as their personal Savior. If they do not know Christ as their personal Savior, their end has already been decided as to where they will spend eternity. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 13, we read, "For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause." Paul had a total dedication in his walk with the Lord to declare the gospel to everyone that he met, to the places that he went. He had a commitment and dedication to share the gospel. Paul always made clear the seriousness of his message of salvation by grace. Eternal life is a serious question. Where will we spend eternal life in our eternal existence, in heaven or in hell? The reward of those who have lives that are glorifying to God shall receive rich rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. In verse 14, 2 Corinthians 5, "For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. The love of Christ for us continues to urge us on in our walk with Christ. As we saw and heard this morning in Sunday school, what can be done by anyone who is completely sold out to serve the Lord in any way possible to see people come to know Christ as their personal Savior? Christ's love forces us in our own, in our walk with the Lord, even in the face of adversity. God loves us with a perfect love. That love should constrain us, as it did Paul, to serve the Lord. In verse 15 of 2 Corinthians 5, and that he died for all they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Because he died, we should live not for ourselves, but for him. How do we, how do I, how do you live our lives? Is it for ourselves, or is it for the Lord? What do we, if you would, give up in our walk with the Lord? The things of the world or service to God? Which one should we give up? Which one should we desire to have present in our life? Because he died for us, friends, we should live not for ourselves, but for him. In verse 16, Paul writes, "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more." He's in heaven. He is there preparing a place for you and I who know Christ as our personal Savior. That place of torment has been created and is now awaiting all of those following the great white throne judgment, all of those who have not trusted Christ as their personal Savior. In our walk with Christ, we should no longer look on people as Jew or Gentile, rich or poor, slave or free, educated or uneducated, but rather as being dead to sin and alive to Christ in our walk. To those who have never trusted him, we should see them, we should love them, we should present the gospel to them. Verse 17 of 2 Corinthians 5, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." These things are conditions. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is in a new condition. Where he was lost, now he's saved. Where he belonged to this world, he now belongs to God. Old conditions have passed away. Behold, all things are become new." When a person is saved, new conditions exist. They are saved, not lost. Heaven is their destination, not hell. No longer under judgment, but under grace. No longer an alien, but now God's child. Verse 18, 2 Corinthians 5, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and given us the ministry of reconciliation." There's no exceptions here. No believer has been excused from their responsibility or their ministry of reconciliation. God still expects us as his children to be his ambassadors. All our privileges and position in Christ are a result of Christ's death. Now we have a purpose. Now we have a life where before we had death. Now we have the purpose of sharing the good news of the gospel, much as we learned from our recording this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." He has given us that responsibility. We have been entrusted with that. Christ died, rose again, praying for sins of all time. Salvation is by grace through faith. Salvation can never be lost. God has entrusted us, you and me, young or old, rich or poor. We have been, if we know Christ, we've been entrusted with this message. As stewards, we are to be faithful in discharging our responsibility in the gospel. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. Before he wrote 2 Corinthians, he wrote 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we read. in verse 1, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Verse 2, moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. We find in verse 10 of 1 Peter 4, as every man hath received the gift, this is the gift of eternal life, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Verse 20, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. As one who has been saved quite a few years, as one who has wandered from following the Lord, as one who is saved, who desires to see people come to know Christ as our personal Savior, I encourage you to let God complete His will in you in all things. God's Word says that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to a change of mind. And we have a responsibility as ones who have changed our mind and trusted Christ in what He's done for us to get us to heaven. We are responsible in our walk with Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, we read, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. For this reason and for this purpose, Christ paid for all sin. Christ put us in the position and responsibility of a righteous ambassador to declare God's will that none should perish. Are we discharging as God's children this morning? Or are we just discharging that responsibility in our day-to-day walk with the Lord? I pray so. I desire your prayers. I desire your encouragement, not patting on the back, but just encouragement in my walk with the Lord. Sometimes things are difficult for each one of us. Sometimes we get discouraged. Sometimes we want to throw up our hands and quit. Sometimes that's the way life is. But all the time, God wants us to be faithful in our walk with Him. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning thanking you so much for that free gift of eternal life. Thanking you, Father, for your Holy Spirit who indwells all believers, who indwells us. And Father, who leads and guides and directs, encourages, chastises, teaches. Father, your Holy Spirit is with us as a guarantee that we will receive all that you have promised to us in our walk with you and in all future things. So, Father, we just ask that you'd bless each one of us this morning as we have had an opportunity to see and to hear from many years ago, Father, how God used one young man, simple in his walk with you, but desirous to see people come to know Christ as their personal Savior. Father, we pray that we might be ambassadors for you. And Father, we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.